Hey, Generation Church, we welcome you and invite you to encounter Jesus with us. We believe that through him, we will encounter love and discover our purpose. So take a seat, lean in, and let this message fortify your faith.
There's moments when things happen in life and you really wrestle with, okay, Lord, what are you really saying for today? And, you know, there's times that you kind of go like this and you think, okay, which way is the wind blowing? And there was a wrestle with what, you know, I had several messages that I was going to go down and share on. And then the Lord redirected me and got my attention. And so today, in light of the events that just even happened over yesterday, the Lord refreshed my memory and just reminded me that no weapon formed against us will prosper. And that is something that we need to know when we're going through difficult and challenging times, that the enemy is roundabout and he's doing everything he can to derail us in life, in ministry, in our relationships. He's trying to upend and destroy, kill, steal. He's ever at work. But the good news is that we don't have to walk through life thinking, oh my gosh, is he around every corner? Is he under every bush? No. The reality is that his attempts and efforts at coming at us are thwarted and are deflected and are protected by the Lord. The Lord is over our lives as a complete protection plan that we have in place. So I want us to look at Isaiah 54. Verses 15 through 17. If you can turn there with me in your Bible. Verse 15. If anyone fiercely assails you, it will not be from me. You know, we have to remind ourselves that the enemy is never after us. He doesn't come after us. He's not going to harm us. He's not going to destroy us. It's not him. But the word says, whoever assails you will fall because of you. Behold, I myself have created the smith who blows the fire of coals and brings out a weapon for its work. And I have created the destroyer to ruin. Verse 17. No weapon that is formed against you will prosper. And every tongue that accuses you in judgment, you will condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their vindication is from me, declares the Lord. Supernatural protection is one of the several blessings that all of us as children of God get to enjoy. It's part of the package. It's what we have as being a part of the family of God. When we receive Christ into our heart as our Lord and our Savior, and we're adopted into the family, we are brought into a family that has supernatural protection around us. Now, at times, the efforts of the enemy comes at you. But the efforts do not prosper because they're deflected, they're diffused, and they're brought down low. Although they might come at you, they might try to harm you, you can stand firm in knowing that as a child of the living God, as you're, you know, when a president of the United States becomes inaugurated and comes into office, there is an immediate protection plan, a bubble that's placed around the president. And it watches over him and protects him and just is a shield round about him. And the president can go about life and be normal and really wear things, you know, that I'm sure there's many attempts. I'm sure there, you know, there's many efforts of the evil one to take down the president. But the president enjoys a security system around him of agents that is incredible. That is the reality spiritually that we get to have as children. We inherit it. It's something that comes with the package. So in that, David said in Psalm 23, 4, verses 4 through 5, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and you have anointed my head with oil, and my cup overflows. There are moments when we're walking on the pathway of life, and the scripture says that he orders our steps. A man makes his plans, but it's the Lord that directs your steps. Sometimes your steps will walk through dark valleys. Sometimes your steps will go through moments that are very, very difficult. But it's in those moments you have to remind yourself, even though you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, you're coming out on the other end. You're not going to stay in that valley. That God is overshadowing you and protecting you as the good shepherd. And the scripture says, I will fear no evil. Let's look back at that verse. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You know, there's this peace of knowing that in situations that just are might seem dark, might seem frustrating, you're not sure what is going on, you got to realize he's right beside you. And you know, when I went to Israel and we were there and we did a tour, and you know, there's a big thing when you go to Israel, you gotta right there by the dome, the rock. You have the dome, and then there's you go down the valley, the Kidron Valley, and up on this ledge, up near the Mount of Olives, there's a little area where you can ride a camel. And it's just really cool. You know, you get to ride a camel, and then you get to get your picture taken, and you got the Dome of the Rock behind you. Well, I thought, I want to ride this camel. So this guy, you know, when you go over there in Israel, you always want to keep your money in your front pocket because, you know, you don't want to get pickpocketed on the backside. So you keep it in the front. So I had kind of a large, you know, wad of dollar bills. Because typically you're tipping in wherever you go. So I had it right there. And so I told the guy, I said, hey, I want a really good ride. And so, you know, because normally they would walk down the pathway and then they would just turn around and then come right back. And it was like, what was that all about? You know, I wanted a ride, you know. So he said, okay. So he took me down a little further than he normally went. And then he walked the camel back. And then all of a sudden, you know, I got off the camel and, you know, it was just, I was getting ready to pay him what he normally, you know, was charging people. So I got ready to pay him and he didn't take the money that I was giving him. He grabbed a hold of the big wad of money that I had. He grabbed it. And he would not let go. And I said, sir, take your hands off my money. He said, no. He looked at me, and I'm telling you what, I was like, ooh, we're getting ready to go to battle here. You know. And then all of a sudden, there was this big guy on the trip. And I don't know, I felt like he was 6'5", you know, 300, he was just a massive guy. Well, he came right up alongside me And then he leaned over me. And then he looked down at that guy and he said, "Sir, do we have a problem here?" He said, "No, no." And he let go of the money. And I gave him his money and I said, "Hey, nice meeting you." So, but the reality is that when he came along my side, you know, it was kind of like, you ever remember the movie, Chronicles of Narnia. Yeah. Okay. Chronicles of Narnia. I'm trying to draw this out of my back in my file. So, and you remember when Lucy was facing her enemies and she was afraid, she didn't know what she was doing. And then all of a sudden, you know, she was there at that moment, and then Aslan walks up behind her and he just roars. Roar. I mean, and the enemies flee, and Lucy's like, you know, big Aslan comes up behind her and he just roars. Well, that's what the Lord does for you. When the enemy's coming against you, he is right there by your side, ready to roar. And when the lion roars, no enemy can even be near you when he roars. He is the lion of the tribe of Judah. And when he roars, there's an element where it just reverberates in the spirit. And I know there's times when the enemy has roared over you guys. He has stood by your side and he's let his roar be made known. And your enemies flee in seven ways. So then it says, "And the Lord prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies." See, a tabletop is a shepherd a lot of times would take in the summer months, would take the sheep up to what they call tabletops on top of mountains. And it's where there's a lot of good grass for them to eat. But up on the tabletops is where a lot of enemies are to a sheep. There's the mountain lions, there's wolves, there's venomous snakes. And so what a good shepherd does is he goes and he drives out all the enemies around a tabletop to make it secure for sheep to graze up in the high country. And so therefore, that is what the Lord does for us, is that he prepares, he goes about, and he clears the way of a tabletop up on top of a mountain so the sheep can graze in good pasture, even in the presence of their enemies. He's there to guard you, watch over you, and to protect you. And then it says, and that he anoints your head with oil. And if you're not aware of this, but, you know, sheep have, they're very helpless. They can't protect themselves. And what happens a lot of times is that the shepherd has to take, it's like a tar. It's like a thick tar that they put right there on the top of a sheep's head. And what that does is that keeps out the nose flies. Sounds kind of a little bit too TMI. But the reality is that the nose flies go up inside the sheep and they lay eggs up in their brain and they drive them crazy. Well, who is Lord of the flies? Beelzebub. So it's the anointing of the Holy Spirit that protects the sheep's mind and watch over the sheep. And that's what a good shepherd does. He anointing. So it's the anointing of the Spirit of the living God that rests upon us, that shields us and protects us from the evil one. This is an incredible protection system that we have, that the goodness of the Holy Spirit, the anointing that comes upon us, it breaks the yoke of the evil one, it drives away the evil one, and it protects our minds. And then it says, and surely my cup overflows. So the goodness of the Lord is that in no matter what situation you're going through, even with the enemies round about and nearby and taunting you, your cup is going to continually overflow because there is a well inside of you that springs up to life, a well inside of you of the Spirit that's continually springing up and refreshing you, and it's filling you, and it's overflowing in your lives. It is the well of the Spirit of the living God who dwells within you, who's springing up to life within you. So your cup is going to continue to overflow. But as believers, God is wanting us to know that we are protected from all evil and harm. And he wants you to know that you can rest secure in his safety protection. Because, see, listen, sheep, if you guys don't realize this, you guys are sheep, okay? I'm a sheep. We're all sheep. You know, we're sheep. And sheep are helpless. Sheep cannot fight. I watched a little video the other day of a guy. He was actually a live camera. He says, hey, look, out there in the field, one of those sheep just fell over. Well, see, if a sheep falls over because of their little peg legs, and if they have a bunch of wool, they can't get back up. They can't get back up. So it needs a good shepherd to run out there. So I saw this guy, he's running out in the field and he's trying to get this big old sheep and he's getting it up on his feet. And all of a sudden the sheep's like, hey, thanks. And then runs off, you know. But the reality is that, you know, sheep are very, they just don't have, you know, like a big kick, you know, or, you know, a big bite or whatever. There's just nothing they can do to protect themselves. So that's why we need the good shepherd to watch over us. So in that, they need protection. And in that, we've got to realize that the good shepherd is standing over us with a rod and a staff, and he's taking care of us. So we need to rest. See, if you don't know that you're being protected, see, sheep will not drink from rippled water. I don't know if you're aware of this. Why does he say that he leads me beside still waters? That's what it says in Psalms. Because they will not drink from rippled water. It's calm, placid water they drink from. And then he says, and he makes me lie down in green pastures. Why does a shepherd have to make a sheep lie down? Because they just don't feel secure. They don't feel safe. So he has to make them. It's like, come on, lay down, you know? Lay down. Lay down and relax. I'm here. And so when sheep feel protected, it just has a way for their souls to be restored and for their minds to be at rest, that everything is okay. And that's why, you know, a sheep knows the voice of his master. Sheep know the voice of the shepherd. They won't go to anybody else. Sheep will only go to the voice of the shepherd because they've been trained to know that voice. So he set this whole thing up so that we are totally dependent upon him for his protection, for his care, his watchful care over our lives. But when we're going through the battle, we need to take a deep breath and remind ourselves that he's with us, that he's protecting us. He's not going to leave us nor forsake us. Let's look at 2 Kings 6. 2 Kings 6, 15 through 17. This is an incredible picture of what warfare could look like, or a battle around your lives. Because Elisha, have you ever had anybody just read your mail? Somebody just come up to you and say, you know what, I just feel like the Lord just said this, 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 and this. And you're like, How did you know that? Well, discernment, word of knowledge, gifts are in operation. Well, the prophet Elisha had an incredible gift where he could actually hear the plans of the Syrian commander-in-chief of their army. He actually knew what he was talking about in his bedroom. And so what he was saying in his bedroom, then he would go tell the king of Israel, you don't want to go this way because he's going to be camping out and waiting for you to kill you. And this happened several times, and he got really upset. He's like, is there somebody telling my business to, you know, to the king of Israel? And he gets all upset over this situation. So let's look at in verse 15. It says, now when the attendant of the man of God had risen early and gone out, behold, an army with horses and chariots was circling the city. And his servant said to him, alas, my master, what shall we do? So he answered, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Verse 17, and then Elisha prayed and said, O Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. I mean, so the prophet's servant was terrified when he saw all the troops, and I probably would have been doing the same thing, freaking out. And it says in verse 15, alas, my master, what shall we do? And so Elisha is unruffled by this situation. And he replies, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. You got to realize there are far more that are for you than those that are in the world right now. There are more angelic hosts protecting us and watching over us and shielding us than those of the enemy's camp. The enemy's warriors and assigned angels are assigned to each of us, because it says in Hebrews that He's assigned ministering angels to watch over us and guard us round about. So he's assigned angels, and the scripture says in Psalm 91 that the angels encamp, he basically gives angels charge concerning us in all of our ways. So the reality is that we need to be asking the Lord to open our eyes and realize that there are more with us than with the enemy. And that we got to realize that there is an unseen protection realm around us that is delivering us from the evil one constantly, and we don't have to fear. We cannot fall into fear in situations that we just feel like are out of control or that we don't know what to do. We got to know, we got to rest in the Lord and know that perfect love casts out all fear. When you can rest in the assurance of his protection and knowing that no weapon formed against you will prosper, fear will have no hold on you. And you'll be able to walk through every situation knowing that you're protected. Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I ask that you open the eyes of my servant, that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the servant, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Would that be amazing? To have the Lord at times open up your eyes and see all of the angels that are protecting you and watching over you. And see, you got to remember this, that this is the heritage of the Lord. This is your inheritance to receive protection around you all the time. It is your heritage as a son, a daughter of the living God. It is a part of the package. It is something that God says, it is yours, and I'm going to watch over you and care for you all the days of your life. So if God cared enough for Elisha and the servant to unfold all of the chariots of fire round about them, God can do the same for you. God can open your eyes and even let you see through the Spirit the angels that are round about you and that are watching over you. I don't think President Trump realized or even thought of that anything was going to happen yesterday. But the reality is that God's security system does not fall asleep. He's watching over you, caring for you all the time, and is never, ever going to let harm come to you. There will be weapons that will come against you and will try to derail you, to try to confuse you, but they will not prosper. They will be dissolved. They will be brought down low. So it's important as we walk through life in confidence that we refuse all fear. Fear cannot have a hold on you. We cannot walk through life like we're walking on eggshells, wondering when the next, you know, shoe is going to drop. We have to be in full faith and knowing that our inheritance with the Lord is a full protection system. So no matter what you're facing or what the enemy is plotting against you, you are divinely protected from the Lord. Even if it seems that you're alone, you got to remember, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The greatness of Almighty God is within you, and he'll stand up anytime he wants and roar on the inside of you. And when he roars, trust me, nothing can come near you. So in that, we have this heritage and it's ours. And so in that, we got to remember the weapons that the enemy uses to come against us. It comes against our marriages, our families. It comes against our wealth, our health, and even your job. I mean, but in all of that, it's not going to prosper. Just stand firm. Stand firm in him and know that all the pain and effort that the enemy is trying to bring against you is going to be brought down. It's going to be exposed and brought down low. We have to have this assurance of knowing that when he's standing beside you, he's fully capable of taking care of you. A rod and a staff. So it's important to remember that the weapons that we have against the enemies round about are mighty. So let's look at 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 through 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And we're taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. You know, you really sometimes have to almost wrestle a thought to the ground. You basically taking it captive and you're saying, I'm choosing to not think about that or to think in that manner. You're wrestling. You're taking captive every thought that would raise itself up against you to lie to you, to deceive you. You're taking that thought captive. But the gifts that the Holy Spirit have given us are mighty for the pulling down of strongholds. And we have something that is so important that we got to remember. Even though we've been given weapons, the weapons of our warfare are mighty for the pulling down of strongholds. We got to also remember that we have been given all authority over the evil one. And when you stand in your authority, it's a positional stance that you're taking, because all authority has been given unto him, and he reigns above all rule and authority, power and dominion. So Jesus is in all authority, and he's sitting down, and the work is finished. So the enemy can't, like, all of a sudden get a, you know, try a third quarter effort to come back and win the game. He's totally defeated. He's been dethroned. He's been neutralized. And now all authority rests with Jesus. And then Jesus turns to us. Uh-huh, I agree. And he said, now, my authority I give to you. So you've got to remember that, and even in the warfare that we go through, that even though it is can be a struggle, you actually have all authority to stand firm in him, in the full armor of God, and to execute your authority. Because Luke 10:19 says this, behold, I have given you. Who's you? Me. I've given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions, the evil one, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will injure you. So if you're in authority, if you're in total authority over the evil one, and he's dethroned, he has no more power, that means he is subordinate to you. That means that if you have all authority, he's got nothing. He's got no authority. He's subject to you. But the issue is that a lot of us don't realize that we have that authority and that we stand in that authority. And when you say go, he must go. He can't just sit around and think, well, who made you boss? He can't do that. If you say go, he's got to go. And so in that, there, it's not an option. It's not a negotiation. He can't sit there and think, well, I know you better than you know yourself. I know your weaknesses. I know how to come after you. I got a hold on you. No, he doesn't. He's a liar and a deceiver. And so when you stand up with the lion of the tribe of Judah on the inside of you and you say go, it's not like the same authority that when Jesus raised the dead, healed the sick, and cleansed the leper. When the enemies tormented and they said, Have you come to torment us before the time? And they would screech out because Jesus just showed up. That same authority over the evil one has been given to you. So when you show up, they respond the same way. But they know, if you know that you're an authority. If you don't know that you know that you're an authority, he knows it. And that he can take advantage of it and turn the very authority that's been given to you, all of a sudden he can try to steal from you and then come after you. So you must stand your ground and exercise your right as a son and daughter of the king. You are of the royal family. And in that, you must take your rightful place as sons and daughters of the king. But it says in Isaiah 54:17, no weapon formed against you will prosper, and every tongue that accuses you in judgment, you will condemn. Now, you're not condemning any person. You're condemning the words that are being used in judgment against you. Because our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. The devil rides upon the wings of words. Because life and death is in the power of the tongue. And when words of death are being spoken, those are the words that he rides upon. And words then are empowered because of darkness. And in that, as he's riding on the wings of words, you're condemning the words. You're condemning the words of judgment that are being spoken against you. And that's what you're tearing down. Because he's only empowered through evil words that are spoken, that are promoting death. And any word that's being used that is not based upon the truth of God's word opens the door to attacks from the enemy. Do you realize that? If your words are soulish and are not intended to build up and are not birthed by the Spirit and are not based upon the truth of God's word, those words that are not of him have got to be canceled, have got to be nullified, and have got to be brought down low in judgment. But I believe a very powerful gift, probably one of the most powerful gifts that can be used against the enemy, is the gift of discernment. And when it comes to spiritual warfare, I would call it the crown jewel of gifts. I remember I was spending time with Dolores Winder, my spiritual mother, and we were there, and she had just got done ministering to thousands of people at a big conference, and there was so much happening. So many people were being healed and delivered and saved, and it was just like, it was just like walking through the book of Acts. It was like I've never seen anything like that before. And I remember after the ministry time, and we were just sitting down together, and she said, you know, Sam, one of the greatest gifts that you can have to operate in as a minister of the gospel is that you need to have the gift of discernment. You need to discern in the spirit what's going on. You need to know what's happening and what's going on around you. And it's truly a gift that you can dial in and discern in the spirit what's happening around you, what's going on, that your eyes are opened. Your eyes are opened, and somehow you see into the unseen realm and you know what's going on. You have that intuition, that deep knowledge of knowing that, okay, something's just not right right now. And you're able to kind of sniff out maybe what the enemy is trying to plan against you. But the Holy Spirit gives this gift to us, the gift of discernment. Ask for it. You have not because you ask not. Ask for the gift of discernment from the Holy Spirit to be given to you so that you can discern and know what is going on. And you can actually discern in the Spirit, and actually even as, I love that in 1 Chronicles 12, 30, 32, it says that the sons of Issachar, the men who understood the times with knowledge of what Israel should do. They were men that understood the times. They discerned the times, and they knew what to do, the sons of Issachar. It is a gift that is given to the body of Christ so that we can, in some ways, have our eyes opened up as a servant did with Elisha, where he could see and discern, wow, there's more with us than with them. And that all the chariots of the Lord were around them. And so I want to read some scriptures that concerns discernment, because I believe it is a very important gift to have. 1 John 4:1, let's look at this. 1 John 4:1, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. So test the spirits with the gift of discernment. Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what the will of God is, and what is good and acceptable and perfect, that you may test, that you may discern what the will of God is in a situation. Hebrews 5:14, but solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. For those who have their powers of discernment trained, by contrast, practice to distinguish good from evil. It's simply a gift. It's not something that you have to work up. It's not something that you have to, there's nothing of it. A gift is a gift. And when you're given a gift, you learn how to operate the gift, but it's a gift given. So in that, it is a gift given of the gifts of the Spirit that I think are so crucial for us to have from the Holy Spirit, because He's the gift giver. Ask and you shall receive. Ask for the gift of discernment, and let it begin to operate in your life, and it begins to open things up in the spirit realm so that you can discern what is going on. Have you ever just said, what in the world is going on around me right now? I mean, there's times where things just don't make sense. You know, Eliza and I had the privilege of celebrating our 30th anniversary several years ago, and we renewed our vows on the beach. And it was a wonderful time with our family and friends. And after all the family left, you know, we were able to stay a week longer and enjoy our time together on the beach, which was wonderful. And we stayed in this duplex. So, you know, we rented one side and somebody was on the other side of the duplex. And one night, you know, Eliza and I were enjoying a wonderful evening together on the deck. It was a gorgeous night. And a miscommunication between us really turned into a heated argument. Now, I'm sure that never happens to any of you. But so this argument, and so the argument got a little heated, and we were also sitting inside a heated jacuzzi, and I'm telling you what, it was hot. I mean, everything about it was hot. The conversation, the jacuzzi, I was like, oh my goodness. And so we're sitting in this jacuzzi, and it just kept going on and on. There was no resolution in sight. And I'm going, okay. I'm like, we just came here, renewed our vows, love is in the air. We are having a wonderful time together. Oh, my goodness. And then all of a sudden, it was just like a portal of hell opened up over us. And it was just like, you know, we were going at it. And I definitely didn't have that love thing going on inside my heart. And I wasn't protecting our connection. And I was just like, where did this come from? So I pulled away from our little disagreement, and I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, what is going on? I said, give me some discernment about the situation, because this is way blown up out of proportion. It is not happening. And the Lord spoke to me, and he said, the attack came from your neighbor. It's because of her jealousy towards you and her disdain towards me. And I went, wow. And our neighbor, a single mother with five children and her father, were staying right beside us in the duplex. And when they first arrived at the house, I introduced myself and I let her know that, you know, we had just celebrated our 30th anniversary and we were renewing our vows on the back of the deck. So I wanted to let her know because we shared the same deck. So we're going to be here renewing our vows on the deck. And a little bit later in the conversation, she asked me, she says, so what do you do? And I always love that question because, you know, a lot of times you, depending on the person, when you come right out and say, well, I'm a pastor, they're like, oh. You know, I mean, it's like, oh my. You know, it's like you can just feel it. You know, it's like, oh, okay, things have just shifted in the spirit here, you know. It was like a really warm, fuzzy, nice, you know, hey, nice to meet you. And then when I say I'm a pastor, like, oh, really? So after I pulled away and I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, what is going on? You know, I told Eliza, I said, honey, I said, you know, I asked the Lord what was going on. And I told Eliza, I said, honey, we've been under a spiritual attack from our neighbors. And so at that moment, you know, we bound the spirits that were operating and that were trying to bring contention, harassment, and division in our relationship. And we told them where to go. You're not welcome here. Get out of here. Go. You know, Scripture says that two or more, when we come together and we agree upon anything, it shall be done. And you know, one can put 1,000, two can put 10,000 to flight. So we bound that spirits that were trying to bring contention and break the connection in our relationship. And then we chose to bless our neighbor. We chose to bless her, and because Jesus says, bless those that persecute you and say all manner of evil against you. So we blessed her. Lord, bless her. She doesn't know what she's doing. We just blessed her. That night I could tell a remarkable difference in the spirit. The air was clear. There was no contention and strife, and it left, the strife left us, and there was peace. There was peace in the home. And the next day I was out on the beach, and our neighbor, because, you know, we walked out together to the same beach, same spot, and she was right beside us and all her children. And I just struck up a conversation and I began talking with her. And she says, you know, this weekend I was planning on remarrying and getting back with my husband and renew our vows this week. You know, she was going to do some type of, you know, service where I guess they were apart and they were going to come back together and try to restore their marriage. But she found out that her fiance was a closet drunk and had admitted himself into a rehab center that weekend. And she said, I guess I didn't know him as well as I thought. And so she called off the marriage. She called it off. And then it just made perfect sense to me why the Lord said, because of the jealousy of your neighbor and her disdain towards me, the attack came. You know, there's a scripture that says that anger is fierce and wrath is a torrent, but who can stand before jealousy? Jealousy is an evil thing. But in her heart, in her struggle with the jealousy of the same weekend that she was going to be reuniting with her husband, we were renewing our vows. It didn't go well for her. So in that, out of her brokenness, she spoke evil of us, over us. And it opened up the portal. Remember when I said that the enemy flies upon the wings of words? When she spoke against us in judgment, it was the words that we condemned, not her. And in that, we blessed her and we prayed for her, that God would restore her and her family. And in that, all of that came through a gift of discernment. That we were discerning what was going on in the spirit, and therefore we were able to have peace. Words of judgment have power. And we need to be able to discern when that is going on and condemn those words that are formed against us. Cancel words, the assignment of words. We need to nullify the plans of darkness. And so, but I got some really good news. Jesus wins every time. He wins every time. And he came with a purpose in mind to earth. And that was to undo the works of the devil. It says in 1 John 3:8, the one who practices sin is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. And the Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. He's come to destroy him, to nullify him, and render him powerless. So in that, God is working for you to undo the enemy's plans that are coming against you, and he's put up the best protection system around you, a shield around you, round about, angelic host. And you have the lion of the tribe of Judah that likes to roar. And he will cause your enemies to flee at any moment and any time. So we rest in this assurance that we are in the family of God. And therefore, our heritage is knowing that we get to walk with him in the cool of the day. And we get to be with him forever and ever until we see him face to face and we hear that, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Well done." So in that, I bless you with understanding the revelatory spectrum of things. And that is, a gift of discernment can unlock the heavenly realm for you and can show you at times what is going on to disarm the evil one so that you can be free. I am so grateful to the Lord. I'm so glad. Aren't you glad he doesn't give up on you? Aren't you glad he never leaves you? He'll never forsake you. He never leaves you alone with the bully anymore. He's there to stand by your guard and watch over you. So let's stand together. Father, we worship you and praise you. That God, you are, that Father, you are our total 100% protection roundabout. And Lord, what the enemy at times uses for harm against us, Lord, what the enemy meant for harm, you turn it around for good. And Lord, I'm asking right now if there is anyone in this room that has been going through a battle, a struggle, where they felt like the enemy is at times coming at them. They don't know where he's coming from, but something's going on and things are not right. Father, I'm asking right now that you would arise in our midst. Arise, O God, from within us and scatter all of our enemies round about. God, I'm asking that you would just stand up on the inside of everyone here and you would just roar. And God, I'm asking right now that you would displace every demon in hell that would come against us, assault us, and try to take us out. Lord, I'm asking today that you would stand up within them and you would push back and drive away the evil one. Lord, I pray right now that you would strengthen and encourage everyone here. As soldiers of the Lord, Lord, we thank you that the battle is yours. The battle is the Lord's. And so, Lord, I thank you and I praise you that, Lord, you win the battle every time. So, Father, right now I'm asking that your anointing would just come upon each and every one. Lord, I'm asking for gifts of discernment to be released and given to people as gifts today. Lord, I'm asking that people would be searching for the gift of discernment and asking for it. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're here with us right now. And I thank you, Lord, that when you're in the house, everything is all right. We're at peace. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that your peace would guard and protect each and everyone's mind here today. And I thank you, Lord, that your peace is something that we even can defeat the evil one over, because it is the God of peace that crushes Satan under our feet. And I pray, Lord, right now that peace would just be a weapon. And I thank you, Lord, for each and every one here. And I just had this, as I was coming today to church, I just had the sense that there's been individuals here, individuals that might be going through just feeling like a lot of spiritual warfare going on around you, struggles that you're having in the family, at work, in your finances, in your health, whatever the battle might be, I got good news for you. The battle is the Lord's. And he wins every time. And so if anyone is going through something that you've been standing and fighting against, but there comes a time when we need somebody to come along our side and pray with us. If you need some prayer of any type of spiritual battle that you've been going through, I want you just to come forward and just receive some prayer. So if I could have some of the prayer team come on up. I want us just to be here, to pray with one another, to support one another, encourage one another. So if you need prayer, I want you to come on up and receive prayer. Because today, when the Lord turns on the light, the enemy flees. Some of you just need the light turned on of what's been going on around you so that you can be free from the struggle and the battle that you're going through. So, Father, I thank you for this wonderful church. Lord, I pray you would bless and keep each and every one. Lord, I'm asking today that you would make your face shine upon each and every one and be gracious. Let your favor rest upon everyone and lift up your countenance upon each and every one and give them your shalom peace. And I thank you for that, Lord Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen.